Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined this morning by Jamie Jores, our live blog director. And we are recapping the week of practice at the Senior Bowl with Pigskin Paul Guillemette, who joins us on the line. How you doing this morning, Paul?
I'm doing well, Brian. The sun is back out in Mobile, so I'm going to go over to the walkthrough, which I usually don't do, but it feels good to see the sun after yesterday's tornado sirens, and I felt like I was back in Wisconsin in the summertime.
Are you going to the game on Saturday?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I will be at the game and then blogging up some reports on it over the weekend and on Monday.
All right, well, let's get right down to it and talk about the prospects you've seen all week in action. There's been a lot of interesting things going on. And, of course, the Packers need help at outside linebacker, and that's where I want to start. There's a couple guys that drawed a lot of attention this week. Hybrid type of guys, Courtney Upshaw of Alabama and Melvin Ingram of South Carolina. Now, my own personal impression, I haven't been at the Senior Bowl this week, but from what I saw on film, I kind of think I really like Courtney Upshaw. I think he's a guy who can be a 3-4 outside linebacker. I think Melvin Ingram is more of a 4-3 defensive end. He looks a little more stiff to me, but he's had good reports this week. Am I nuts? Am I correct? Or what do you think of these two guys?
Well, I think that I was very surprised on Monday with the weigh-in to find out that these guys basically at least came to Mobile looking like almost twin brothers if you put a helmet on their head and couldn't see their faces, because basically without splitting hairs over an eighth of an inch, both these guys came in at 6'2", 275 pounds. And I was a little surprised with Upshaw because it seems like his weight has continued to go up this year. I thought it was rather interesting, Brian, to get to your last point of where they play and what they do. Both of them, because of that size this week, both of them lined up at a defensive end position. In fact, they shared the right defensive end position. And most of the time, even though they were on the line of scrimmage, neither one of them put their hand down and played in a three-point stance. They both played in a two-point stance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is the difference. Without a doubt, Melvin Ingram is going to go into the draft as a defensive end. So if you're drafting Melvin Ingram, you've got to hope that he's got the quickness of a Dwight Freeney, because that's roughly the size you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have a strong linebacker behind him. In the case of Courtney Upshaw, he has told everybody down here that when he gets to the combine and when it comes to his pro days, he will be working out with the linebacker groups. So I don't know if he just went on an eating binge after Alabama won the national title and he intends to lose that weight, or if he got some negative feedback by coming in at well over 270. But I can tell you right now, if he's going to stand up and be a linebacker in a 3-4 scheme most of the time and have to backpedal into coverage, he can't weigh 276 pounds.
Hmm.
He's not quite that athletic. So I think between now and the draft, Upshaw is going to be the more interesting guy to watch. Now let's state the other obvious thing. Unless Ted Thompson's willing to give up the second half of his draft and sell him next year, he doesn't get a sniff at either one of these guys.
Yeah, they look like they're going to go pretty early, I imagine.
I think Upshaw is a top 10 player unless he falls flat on his butt at the combine. And I think Ingram is gone by 20, 21. Again, unless something comes up that shakes him, and if something does, then it's not the kind of guy that Ted Thompson's going to draft. So you're right on, and I think the thing about especially Upshaw, the thing that would be so attractive to a team like the Packers is the fact that at the right weight, let's say he gets his weight back down so that he's 6'1¾" or 1 7/8", and he weighs 255, 260. The beauty of a guy like him with his athleticism and his instincts, he would be an ideal toy for Dom Capers to play with, because you could put him down at a rush situation in certain settings. You can play him as a linebacker and drop him into coverage. He would be a great, you know, he could be this year's Randall Cobb-type toy for the defense, but they're just not going to get a sniff at him.
Well, sorry, Packer fans. It looks like we're going to have to put our eyesights and targets on some other players, but there's so many players in Mobile this week. Let's talk about a couple other of them. I wanted to have a little bit of discussion on Michigan defensive lineman Mike Martin, because there was a report the Packers interviewed him this week, and I know that really doesn't mean a whole lot because they talk to everyone, but I think that could lead into an interesting discussion about the Packers and the way they like their defensive linemen a little bit shorter than a lot of teams. Mike Martin is short. He's squat. He's 6'1". And the Packers don't seem to go for that 6'4", 6'5 defensive lineman. What do you think about Mike Martin, and what do you think about the way the Packers draft their defensive linemen?
Well, I think you're right. They by and large don't go for tall targets. That's the way I look at it. I like to phrase it, you know, if you're a 6'6" defensive lineman, you're a great target for blockers, especially in this day and age with the zone blocking schemes where there's a lot of cut blocking and they're going for those long legs. So I think you're right on there. I'm not convinced, though, that Martin is the kind of guy that the Packers are going to be swimming. And you did hit it, Brian. They can say that they talked to Mike Martin. I got news for folks. There's 105 players here. I guarantee you the Packers talked to 75 of them at least. That's a big, big, big part of what goes on down here in Mobile from a scouting standpoint. Martin's active. Martin is impressive. You can see at the meat market Monday when they came out in their skivvies, you can see that this kid was born and raised a wrestler, because from the waist up, he looks like, the best quote I can give you is, remember the old Lombardi days? Mike Martin from the waist up looks like a block of granite. He's got the same kind of build that Brock Lesnar has.
Okay.
And he is just ripped, and it does look natural. I don't think it's steroid enhanced. I don't think that exists anymore. I think the drug testing has really cut back on that, and we don't have time to get into that. But maybe when we get closer to the draft, you might want to pick my brain about the steroid issue. But anyway, I think he's a battler. He plays hard. That fits the Packers' mode. But, Brian, I would say to you that down here, I would put him in the middle of the pack as I rank my players. He might be my 50th best player out of 105 guys down here. And he's not making a whole lot of tackles. And I think what's going on, it's all relative now. A couple of inches can make a big difference, as crazy as it sounds. He's 6'1" and a quarter. He had 307 pounds and he's ripped. That all fits. The problem is, Brian, relatively speaking, he has short arms. Mm-hmm. His arms measure 31¾", and that becomes problematic at the NFL level.
Because he made a lot of tackles at Michigan.
Yeah, he did. But that's college football, playing against a lot different size centers and guards and a lot different level of skill.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kind of guy, because he's got those 31¾-inch long arms, he's the kind of guy that a really good, technique-savvy, zone-blocking center or guard in the NFL is going to lock up, and he's not going to be able to reach out and make that arm tackle in the middle of the field. I'm not saying he's not going to play in the NFL. I'm just saying he's not going to be a star, and I also think he's not exactly what the Packers look for in their defensive line.
I gotcha. Just looking for these Packers angles here, you interviewed Audie Cole, inside linebacker from North Carolina State this week, and just referenced how he kind of was going with the Clay Matthews look, the long flowing hair coming out of the back of the helmet, and you could kind of compare him to A.J. Hawk in that manner as well, and he certainly plays the same position as A.J. Hawk, an inside linebacker. And my question here is, you know, what concerns me with A.J. Hawk is you saw a lot of athleticism in college, and it kind of tapered off in the pros. Is that a concern for a guy like Audie Cole, who is showing, you know, right now to be a pretty good athlete? What's the concern with him as he enters the NFL?
Well, I would say that's a lot to swallow, but I like Audie Cole. Yeah, he's working on the Clay Matthews look in a couple of ways. At the weigh-in on Monday, my first comment is this kid has really buffed up over his career at North Carolina State. And he's, you know, at this point, he weighed in, he measured in here at 6'4" and 248. So you're talking about a guy that's only a few pounds now, only a few pounds less than Clay Matthews. He is muscular / ripped, somewhat like Clay Matthews. Not quite as well defined, but I think he could get there. He's working on the hair. He's got blondish hair, and he had it tied back in a mullet for the weigh-in, but he has it flowing. He's got to work on it some more, though. I'm guessing he won't get a haircut anytime soon because it's just barely coming out from under his helmet at this stage of the game. Brian, I might be crazy, but from a Packer perspective, I think they should be thinking about this kid because I don't believe he has to play inside linebacker in the NFL. I think from the athleticism that I have seen, and I watched North Carolina State about four times this year, he's pretty darn good dropping into coverage. He's pretty aggressive out of his stance in penetrating into the backfield. I don't think he's got the sack skills that Clay Matthews has quite yet, but I think he could be converted to an outside linebacker. I don't think you have to consider him as purely an inside guy. And if I'm right on that, I would think that would make him more attractive to the Green Bay Packers. I think you could get, maybe, you could get Audie Cole with the pick at the end of the second round.
Interesting. Very interesting to hear. Another guy who grabbed my attention this week is Vic Ballard, and the reason he did is Vic Ketchman of Packers.com is down in Mobile this week. He happened to write a column saying, Vic Ballard is a Packers-type running back. What does he mean by that, and what does Vic Ballard bring to the table?
I think it's a very wise and astute observation to single out Vic Ballard. A, on his talent overall, I think he was the best running back down here this week. But also from a Packer perspective, he's 5'10", 217 pounds. So he's that slightly hard to find, hiding behind the offensive line runner. But at 217 pounds, you're not talking about a pussyfooter. You're talking about a kid that looks for creases between the tackles. And I'm going to say, for my money, I think he's got a quicker burst through the hole than anybody that's currently on the Packer roster. Maybe the exception being Brandon Sane, but I just don't see Brandon Sane being much of a between-the-tackles runner. I think Vic Ballard, I saw him do it at Mississippi State, and we're talking SEC competition, which I think is the best in the country. I saw Vic Ballard get to the corner and get upfield. People don't seem to be excited about his, quote, speed or lack thereof. I don't see a problem there. I saw him twice in 11-on-11s this week hit the crease, and the only person that was able to run him down 30 yards downfield was a cornerback. The linebackers and the safeties could not catch up with him. I think he's not dissimilar to Ryan Grant at his best 2-3 years ago. He also catches the ball well. He also seems to be totally willing to pass protect, and he seems to have a clue what pass protection is about. I think, again, end of the second round, maybe if he doesn't blow the doors open at the combine and look too good, maybe even third round possibility for the Packers. I think Vic Ballard would be a very wise move, especially, I'm going to throw in a cut here, Brian, I'm beginning to think, as much as I like James Stark and approved of that draft pick, he's starting to show me some of the mental shortcomings that a James Jones shows at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good athlete. He's a good performer, but he has mental lapses. Packers don't like guys who have too many mental lapses.
Absolutely. Get some quick reactions here on two guys here from the University of Georgia, interior offensive lineman. Well, you can make the case that Cordy Glenn is a exterior offensive lineman, if you will. But Ben Jones and Cordy Glenn, what did you think of them this week? Because we had heard a report, too, that the Packers interviewed Ben Jones, as little as that means.
Okay, well, no, I think in this case it might mean something. Let's start with Cordy Glenn. Cordy Glenn is not an interior offensive lineman. Cordy Glenn is an incredible physical specimen. He came in on my list as the second best player down here this week after Quentin Coples, defensive end from North Carolina. Cordy Glenn did everything you could ask a left tackle to do down here. And at 346 pounds, he's not fat. He's not overweight. He's just one of these naturally huge human beings, the kind of guy that the Big Tuna used to say, you can't teach size. And I think he is, it would be a waste to stick Cordy Glenn back in at guard, Brian. He's a left tackle in the NFL. He does things on his feet at 346 pounds that you shouldn't be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he just stones people at the line of scrimmage. That said, the Packers don't get a sniff at him either. Ben Jones, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought he was just another guy, and he showed me more than that down here. And I don't think you're far off to think the Packers might have interest there, Brian, because let's face it. Last year we lost Colin Jenkins. I think there's a 50-50 chance that they lose Scott Wells this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a funny feeling with the year Scott Wells had, and God bless him, he's a hard-working guy and he deserves every penny he can get. I think Scott Wells has a chance to sign a bigger contract someplace than the Packers are going to want to give.
Mm-hmm.
A 31-year-old, you know, hard-working, overachieving center who's had back problems. That being said, Ben Jones, 6'2" and 5'8", 304 pounds, 32 1/4 inch arms. He played center and guard down here. Does that sound like something the Packers like? Brian, he's tough as nails. He plays to the whistle, maybe beyond. I saw him get knocked backwards several times by a bigger defensive tackle, and within a second he reversed that and just cut the legs out from under that defensive tackle. I think he fits his own blocking scheme. I think he's tough as nails. His size, I think the Packers could get him up to 310, and that'll be more than they need. That'll be more than Scott Wells' weight. And I think that versatility that he can play guard, yeah, I could definitely see. You get to the third round, I think Ben Jones is still there. I could even see Ted Thompson maybe using an extra pick to move up and grab him in the third round. I think Ben Jones is a Packer kind of player at a position where, A, Ted Thompson's always looking to add a couple of talented defensive linemen, and, B, again, if they have to replace Scott Wells. I don't know. Ben Jones played a lot of football at Georgia. He might be a guy that you could plug in pretty quickly.
Very good. Before we let you go, the same as last week, what did you glean from the Packers scouts, evaluators in Mobile this week? Anything Ted Thompson's looking at, their scouts are looking at? Can we glean anything from that?
I can't. The Packers have gone covert, which shouldn't be a surprise with Ted Thompson as the general manager. If you'll remember, Brian, I used to comment that I could always find the Packer scouts because they had their green and gold gear on, and they congregated in a group to do their scouting up in the stands. Didn't see that this year. I didn't see guys walking around in green and gold. I found Teddy many times because the GMs and head coaches were allowed to go on the field during practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they had a full complement down here, but can I tell you that I saw, you know, a certain guy sneaking over with his Packer hat on to interview a certain player? No, I don't pay a super lot of attention to that. Cause as I said, I can guarantee you the Packers interviewed at least 75 of 100 players here.
Yeah.
So I personally think that, It's a bunch of, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble here. But I personally think that, you know, all these blog sites, and I got some good friends that do this, so I apologize to them. All these blog sites that, you know, hype their site because they're going to tell you who they saw, which team scouts that they saw talking to which players, that's garbage.
Yeah.
Because every team has 15 guys down here scouting, and they talk to everybody in sight. So, way overplayed, okay?
I gotcha. Paul, thank you for your insight, for joining us today here on Railbird Central. We appreciate it, and we'll start to see your work soon at the Cheesehead TV NFL Draft Guide.
Yeah, I think, folks, that was a little reminder that Brian's got me on a deadline to get him some stuff next week.
Well, we're looking.
I can see through that, Mr. Brian.
We're looking forward to it, nonetheless. So, have fun in Mobile, enjoy the game, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
All right, take care. Have a good day. See ya. Paul Guillemette joining us here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. So fantastic to have him, as always, to talk about the Senior Bowl and talk about the NFL draft and all the players and prospects and things along those lines. So fantastic to have him joining us. And that opens up a line if you want to talk to me. Phone number 347-352-0154. And we can talk about the NFL draft. We can talk about the Senior Bowl and anything you want to talk about. So, Paul kind of poo-pooed a little bit, you know, these sites that kind of talk about interviews that the Packers may do or things like that. And he's definitely right that you can't put any really stock into it. I like to pass it along anyway because I just know there's fans out there that like to know what the Packers are doing. they pay Ted Thompson a lot of money and the scouts to a lot lesser extent, but they like to know it. You never hear what the scouts actually do. You know what the coaches do. You know what the players do, but you don't know these dozen or so guys what they do. And now's the time when they shine. Now's the time when they're really, this is the bulk of their job, scouting players, and this time of year, the pre-draft process. So I always like to pass along who the Packers interview with, even if it doesn't mean a whole lot, just because I think that's a little bit interesting. But it's great to get some insight from Mobile, and this is just the beginning here, the All-Star game process here. After this, it goes on to the Combine late, about 1 month away, late February. And then you got pro days after that and all these kind of things. So really ramps up all this attention, really ramps up awful quickly as we prepare for the NFL draft. And talking about Packers news now. So we did our NFL draft talk, and now time to talk about Packers news. Some of the headlines coming through the past 24 hours or so. The Packers are practicing in the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. Six players are there. Should have been seven. John Kuhn is injured and won't play, but the entire coaching staff is out there. They were practicing, televising practice live on the NFL Network yesterday, and the coverage is nothing too special. But it's just interesting to see, you know, they interview Aaron Rodgers, and you get to see Mike McCarthy in action and all the Packers guys. So cool to see that. And perhaps even the bigger news is that former Packers coach Mike Sherman looks like he'll be named the Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator today, where he joins another former Packer, head coach Joe Philbin, who was just hired by the Miami Dolphins not that long ago. So kind of some former Packers teaming up there in South Beach to see the damage they can do in the NFL. So congratulations to Mike Sherman. And it's been reported that he's going to be the offensive coordinator. It just hasn't been announced officially by the Dolphins yet, so that's kind of something you'll see come down the pike today, probably on Twitter or any number of platforms, blogs, newspapers, you name it, as we kind of track the news revolving the Packers. And another former Packer as well. This one isn't going to quite get the headline treatment, but saw yesterday Kabir Baja Biamila, very good Packers pass rusher in the Mike Sherman era. I think he was around for the beginning of the Mike McCarthy era, but didn't last too long. That was kind of the end of his career. But joining another former Packer, all these former Packer connections, Bryce Pop as an assistant coach at Green Bay Southwest High School. So how would you like that? If you're a high school kid in Green Bay, your head coach could be Bryce Pop, and your assistant coach could be Kabir Baja Biamila. And how would you like to be a defensive end for Green Bay Southwest? You've got two guys who were really some of the better pass rushers in the NFL in their era. I mean, these are guys who were always near the league lead in number of sacks. So that's pretty cool, just these Packer connections that you find out about right now. Comment from Kevin on the live blog: wonder if the Dolphins now draft Ryan Tannehill since Sherman was his coach at A&M. Very interesting. Of course, Mike Sherman sent being fired at Texas A&M, which allowed him to seek these jobs in the NFL. But yes, so now the Miami Dolphins will be looking for a quarterback, and there's all sorts of these kind of connections here, all sorts of rumors. Of course, the word is that Peyton Manning could be a candidate at Miami, kind of on the outs in Indianapolis, perhaps. I mean, that's still speculation, still rumor, but all sorts of speculation going on there involving Peyton Manning, and as the Colts are getting ready to very likely draft Andrew Luck with the first pick in the NFL draft. So Peyton Manning could be on the street, and the Dolphins looking to be picking him up. But more pertinent, perhaps, a guy like Matt Flynn, possibly joining his former offensive coordinator in Miami. And as Joe Philbin intimated that it's, he'd been asked about Matt Flynn in the interview process, whether that'll come to fruition or not, remains to be seen. But possibly Matt Flynn going to the Dolphins in free agency, or perhaps even take and trade situation, although that possibility is a little bit more remote. Or do the Dolphins go through the NFL draft and try to get their guy there? They don't have a high draft choice, so that they're probably out of the running of a guy like Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin. But then you look later in the draft, and could they go after a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who Sherman coached at A&M is one of the better quarterback prospects in this year's draft class, of course, behind guys like Luck and Griffin, but kind of right next there, right in the next category among the trigger throwers in ready to come out and join the ranks of the NFL. So all sorts of Packers connections today, former Packers and guys who might soon to be former Packers. So And by the way, wasn't it interesting that when we were talking to Paul Guillemette that he says, 50-50 chance that Scott Wells could be back next season with the Packers, of course, him being a free agent. You really got to think that, that's about the way I'm looking at it right now. 50-50. I think a lot of people almost assume Scott Wells will be back with the Packers next year, but he didn't, like a lot of Packers, they kind of signed those extensions a little bit early. That didn't happen with Scott Wells. He knew he could get a little bit of money, a little bit of jing on the free agent market, and he's going to test it. So, the Packers are going to have to pay him rather handsomely in addition to JerMichael Finley in order to keep these guys around. So, very, very just interesting to see what will happen in the upcoming months as free agency gets underway. Probably, what are we talking about? Early March or so, where free agency gets underway. So all sorts of things coming up in the world of the NFL. We got the Pro Bowl this weekend. We got the Super Bowl next weekend. And then after that, the draft gets ramped up again with the NFL Combine taking place in late February, free agency taking place in early March. And, the draft process just continues after that. So lots to look forward to in the upcoming weeks, upcoming months, and we'll be bringing you all here at CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks for joining us, folks. It's a Friday. Enjoy your weekend. We sure will here at Cheesehead TV. On behalf of Jamie George this morning, thanks for joining us, and make sure to be coming back for your coverage of Packers news all week long right here at CheeseheadTV.com. We'll see everyone. I'll leave you with a song called Cemetery Walk 2 by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack, go.